Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Laurentian Bank second quarter 2015 conference call. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Gladys Caron. Please go ahead, Ms. Caron.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Our press release was issued today on Canada Newswire and is posted on our website. This afternoon's overview of our results for the second quarter will be provided by our President and CEO, Régent Rapitaille, and our CFO, Michel Lauzon. Other members of our senior management team are also present on this call to answer any questions. You will find their names and titles on slide 18 of the presentation available on our website. Régent and Michel will refer to that presentation throughout their speeches. During this conference call, forward-looking statements may be made, and it is possible that actual results may differ materially from those projected in such statements. For the complete cautionary note regarding forward-looking statements, please refer to our press release or to slide 2 of the presentation. I will now turn the floor over to Régent Rapitaille.
And thank you, Gladys, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Laurentian Bank released this morning strong results for the second quarter of 2015. Our adjusted net income reached $42.3 million, or $1.38 per share, representing solid growth of 7% year-over-year. The personal and commercial segment performed well again, posting 6% net income growth over the second quarter of 2014. Laurentian Bank Securities also recorded strong results, with net income increasing to $4.1 million. However, at B2B Bank, the strategy of the bank to better diversify its funding activities and the competitive pricing of deposits in the quarter, given lower interest rates, are masking the progress achieved on the mortgage front. Our good performance is due to our ability to effectively execute on our priorities. One priority is growing our activities in higher margin products. Our strategy is to develop our portfolio of commercial loans and commercial mortgages continue to generate strong growth of 19 and 13% respectively. As well, building on the momentum created over the past few quarters, B2B Bank's mortgage portfolio increased by 13%. Its comprehensive product lineup, which includes expanded mortgage solutions along with its traditional offer, is gaining traction among mortgage brokers. A second priority, particularly given the challenge of prevailing low interest rates, is improving and diversifying our non-interest sensitive revenue streams. To this end, other income grew by 6% year-over-year, or 11% excluding a gain on the sale of a commercial mortgage loan portfolio in the second quarter of 2014. We continue to benefit from our proactive approach to risk management. This results in the strong credit quality of our loan portfolios, as evidenced by a loss ratio of only 12 basis points. As well, we are carefully controlling our expenses. Given our solid results and our commitment to generate sustained profitability, the Board of Directors approved an increase in our quarterly dividend of 2 cents to 56 cents per share. I would like to add that management believes that our financial objectives for 2015, while challenging in the current environment, remain achievable as we focus on realizing revenue opportunities and containing expense growth. I will now call upon Michel to review our financial results in more detail. Michel?
Thank you, Régent. I'm now pleased to provide you with further details on our results for the second quarter of 2015. As presented on slide 6, net income for the second quarter of 2015 totaled $41.2 million, or $1.34 per share, while adjusted net income increased by 7% over year-over-year and reached $42.3 million, or $1.38 per share. Adjusted ROE for the quarter improved to 12.1% from 11.9% a year earlier. As shown on slide 7, net interest income for the quarter of 2015 decreased by $1 million year-over-year. In the second quarter of 2014, an interest recovery of $2.5 million relating to favorable settlements in the commercial portfolio had positively impacted NII. When excluding this factor, net interest income increased by $1.5 million year over year. This increase was generated by strong volume growth in higher margin portfolios, but was partly offset by tighter margins on deposits. On a sequential basis, the impact of three fewer days of net interest income amounted to $4.6 million and masked the $2.4 million positive contribution from increased loan volumes and slightly wider margins. There is clear evidence of the positive impact of the growth of our higher margin businesses. Net interest margin increased by 1 basis point sequentially, largely reflecting a more favorable loan and funding mix. Compared to a year ago, NIM declined by 9 basis points due to several factors. It should be noted that the significant growth in our higher margin loans contributed 5 basis points to NIM. However, this was offset by margin compression on deposits of 6 basis points as a result of the competitive environment for deposits during the quarter. Lower interest recoveries, as I mentioned earlier, of 3 basis points and the negative impact of the flattening of the yield curve over the year of another 3 basis points also hurt margins. Lastly, NIM declined by 2 basis points due to the higher level of liquidities that the bank is carrying, as we expect strong volume growth in the coming quarters. Other income, as highlighted on slide 8, rose by 6% year-over-year in the second quarter of 2015. Excluding a $3.7 million gain on the sale of a commercial mortgage portfolio a year earlier, other income increased by 11%, with the improvement stemming from several diversified business activities. Income from treasury and financial market operations rose by $4.1 million due to higher income from trading activities, as well as a $1.3 million gain on hedging activities. The latter was a result of the 25 basis point reduction in the Bank of Canada rate earlier this year and offset an equivalent loss in the first quarter of 2015. Mutual fund commissions grew by $3.1 million. The increase was generated by new sales and growth in assets under management, which also triggered additional fee-based revenues earned on the co-branded LBC Mackenzie funds. As well, lending fees were up by $1.8 million due to higher underwriting activity in business portfolios. As shown on slide 9, credit quality remained strong in the quarter with loan losses of $8 million. During the quarter, various improvements and repayments, mainly in the commercial portfolios, triggered net favorable adjustments to provisions, explaining the $2.5 million lower provision when compared to a year earlier and to the prior period. For the next two quarters, we believe that loan losses could remain slightly lower than historical levels. Gross impaired loans increased by $6.1 million from the prior period to $131.9 million. We remain very well provisioned and are very comfortable with the quality of the collateral and guarantees that support our exposures. We view the underlying quality of the portfolios as strong, as highlighted on slide 10. With a loan loss ratio of 12 basis points and a gross impaired loan ratio of 47 basis points, the bank continues to favorably compare to the major Canadian banks. Turning to non-interest expenses, we have continued to maintain our discipline in managing our expenses during the quarter. As shown on slide 11, adjusted non-interest expenses rose 2% year-over-year and stood at $158.8 million in the second quarter of 2015. Salaries and employee benefits declined by 1% year-over-year, but were more than offset by our costs related to project expenses, as well as higher unrecoverable sales taxes. The adjusted efficiency ratio increased marginally to 71.9% from 71.7% in the second quarter of 2014, while operating leverage for the first 6 months of the year remained slightly positive. I will now turn to the performance of our business segments. Slide 12 shows a strong performance of the personal and commercial business segment. Its contribution to net income was $32.2 million for the second quarter of 2015, an increase of 6% compared to a year earlier. Solid organic growth in the business services portfolios, as well as increased revenues, particularly from mutual funds and lending fees, contributed to the increase in net income. Other income grew by 5% from the second quarter of 2014, which had included a portion of a gain on the sale of a commercial mortgage loan portfolio, representing $1.2 million. Excluding this gain, the growth in other income was 8%. Net interest income grew by $2.4 million, owing to good volume growth. Nonetheless, loan losses increased by $1.6 million to $5.9 million. Non-interest expenses increased by $3.4 million, reflecting higher project expenses and higher staffing levels in the business services group as we continue to invest in business development. As shown on slide 13, B2B Bank's contribution to adjusted net income was $11.3 million for the second quarter, compared with $13.5 million for the same quarter in 2014, largely due to lower net interest income. This decrease mainly stems from lower levels of broker deposits as the bank used alternative funding sources over recent quarters. investor deleveraging, albeit at a decelerating pace, and finally, as well as margin compression on certain deposits as rates paid to depositors remained elevated in a competitive environment. The cumulative result was that NIM declined in the quarter to 1.93% from 2.03% a year earlier. However, average earning assets are up $78 million quarter over quarter as accelerating mortgage growth of 13% year over year and strengthening gross sales of investment loans are positioning B2B Bank for improving loan revenue in future quarters. The provision for loan losses was $2.1 million in the second quarter of 2015, a decrease of $0.9 million from a year earlier, reflecting lower provisions in the investment loan portfolio due to reduced exposure and overall improvements in credit quality. Adjusted non-interest expenses increased by $1.6 million, largely due to higher amortization of IT projects and higher allocated costs. As shown on slide 14, Laurentian Bank Securities and Capital Markets contribution to net income increased to $4.1 million in the quarter. Total revenue increased to $19.1 million mainly as a result of higher underwriting fees in the fixed income market and higher trading revenues. Non-interest expenses rose by $0.5 million due to higher performance-based compensation, commissions, and transaction fees. The other sector generated an adjusted net loss of $5.2 million compared with an adjusted net loss of $7 million in the second quarter of 2014. Other income benefited from a $1.3 million gain on a derivative price adjustment, which offset an equivalent loss in the previous quarter. As well, other income in the second quarter of 2014 had included a portion of the gain related to the sale of a commercial mortgage loan portfolio, representing $2.5 million. Non-interest expenses decreased by $2.1 million to $8.4 million as a result of higher allocated costs to other business segments. Our capital ratios remain at a comfortable level, with CET1 ratio stable from the last quarter at 7.8%. As you are probably aware, this is my last conference call at the bank, as I will be retiring at the end of July. I have been thinking about retiring for a while, and as the bank is in very solid position, the time is now right. I want to thank the management team and employees with whom I have worked closely for entrusting me with the CFO position for the last 6 years. I also want our investors and analysts to know that I sincerely enjoyed all of our interactions and thank you for your support. Now, I will offer some closing remarks.
Thank you, Michel. And as you can see, we are building momentum on our revenue growth due to our improving portfolio mix. Business services continues to offer a lot of potential as we further develop this segment. Our specialized approach responds to a clear need in the industry. We are deploying our strategies not for the sake of growth, but to deliver sustainable profitability for the bank. The increase in the business portfolios, which ranks as one of the highest growth rates among the banks, contributed to the bank's 17% year-over-year increase in lending fees during the quarter. While we cannot escape the margin pressure ensuing from this very low interest rate environment, the mix of loans that we are generating is helping to mitigate this impact. Consequently, the contribution to earnings from our commercial activities is tangible and sustainable. The same is true for B2B Bank. Margins will gradually benefit from higher margin mortgages and the acceleration of gross sales of investment loans. This underlying trend will become increasingly apparent as the deleveraging of the existing investment loan portfolio continues to slow and the intensely competitive environment for retail deposits abates. As for the retail activities, our focus on selling mutual funds contributed to the 43% year-over-year increase in revenues from this activity in the second quarter. Our sales force is progressively becoming more proactive and efficient at providing valuable advice to clients. This business activity offers good potential for the bank in the years to come. Laurentian Bank Securities is also forging a clear path between business development and enhanced profitability. Its focus on the small cap market sets them apart from other bank-owned brokerages. With more than 100 companies covered in 9 industry sectors, LBS is winning an increasing number of advisory mandates, setting the stage for future revenue growth. Developing this niche, along with well-established activities in fixed income markets, contributed to the 9% year-over-year increase in revenues. As this is Michel's last quarterly results conference call, I would like to thank him for all the great years that he has served the bank. His guidance, leadership, and expertise have been instrumental to Laurentian Bank's success. Michel will continue to be here to ensure a smooth transition with the next CFO, who we expect to announce in the near future. On behalf of myself and all of the bank's employees, I wish Michel a rewarding retirement, one in which he can spend more time enjoying his family, his friends, and a good glass of wine. Thank you, Michel. I would like to conclude by saying that the bank is solid and has never been as strong as it is today. Our improving profitability has enabled the bank to increase its dividend 10 times over the past 5 years for an increase of 56%, and we will diligently work to continue to create value and reward our shareholders. I will now turn the call back to Gladys.
Thank you, Réjean. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to the conference operator for the question and answer session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing any keys. And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And one moment, please, for your first question. And your first question will come from the line of Shubha Khan of National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Good afternoon. So first question is on credit quality. And I understand that, I guess, in the personal loan portfolio, credit quality has improved over this past several quarters. But would I be right to assume that unless there are any significant loan recoveries in any one of the commercial portfolios, you'd expect loan loss provisions at roughly 15 basis points rather than the 12 basis points you achieved in this quarter. Is that a fair assumption, or I guess you're not suggesting that 12 basis points can be sustained beyond this quarter?
Well, thanks for the question, Shubha. I'll ask Pierre Mainville, our Chief Risk Officer, to answer this question.
Yes, I think it's a good assessment, 14 to 15 basis points, but as you said, a few reversal or repayment on commercial account could impact positively this number.
And we believe that probably in the next 2 quarters, loan losses could remain slightly lower than historical levels, mainly because of what Pierre has just mentioned.
Okay, got it. And then just shifting to the margin here, I understand there's a slight expansion from last quarter, and you attributed that to the improved mix. But if I look at the loan-to-deposit spread, it looks like it was down a couple of basis points sequentially. So I'm just trying to reconcile that with your comments around improved margin mix given the stronger growth in commercial loans. So perhaps if you can dive into some of the details there, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I'll ask Michel to answer this one, Shubha.
Yeah, you're right, Shubha. In my comments, I did mention that our lending margins did increase by 5, but the deposit margins decreased by 6, so we did have a 1 basis point contraction, which is in line with what we had seen in prior quarters. The rest of the change, the positive impacts came in other sectors in the quarter on a quarter-over-quarter basis, which helped in the quarter.
Okay. Final question is on lending fees. And if I'm not mistaken, they're lower than in the back half of last year. So are Q3, Q4 seasonally stronger quarters for lending fees? And has that seasonality been amplified, if you will, by the growth in your commercial business, basically?
Well, I think that there's definitely a correlation between the lending fees and the significant growth that we have. We expect that even if you've seen that we have 19% of growth in commercial mortgage commercial book and 13% in commercial mortgage book, we expect that going forward, those double-digit growth will continue to be there. So that should bring a positive spin to the lending fees in the coming quarters.
Okay, understood. And thanks. That's all my questions. And Michel, best of luck in retirement.
Thank you, Shubha.
And the next question will come from the line of Manny Groman of Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. First question, I just want to maybe get a little more insight into the subject of loan sales. We didn't see the bump this quarter. as we have tended to see in Q2 over the past few years. I'm wondering if there's any change in terms of any notable change in terms of your outlook on loan sales in particular, or is it just you know, a matter of timing, or is it more fundamental than that?
Thanks for the question, Manny. I'll ask Stéphane Perrien, head of our commercial activities, to answer this question.
Yeah, as you pointed out, we created a syndication desk a little more than 2 years ago to be able to proactively manage our risk-weighted asset as well as our credit risk. So loan sales will occur on an opportunistic basis and when it makes business sense. But this is not likely in the next couple of quarters.
Okay. Thank you for that. And I just want to follow up on the subject of expenses. You talk about higher unrecoverable sales taxes and also increased product spend. I was wondering about project spend. Wondering if you could go into a little more detail, particularly on the project spend side. Is this, you know, what is this focused on, and sort of what's the outlook for that item in particular?
Michel? Okay, thanks for the question, Manny. Really what's going on the project expense side is it's just a shift in the type of expenses we're incurring for projects. Some of the nature of those projects doesn't give rise to capitalized investments, and so they're more likely to be expensed right up front. So we've seen a slight increase in those types of expenses, and so it has created a bit of a mix. On the sales taxes, it's just either the payroll taxes or the standardized allocation method, which we sort of round out at the end of each second quarter of each year. We had a slight favorable adjustment last year and a slight unfavorable adjustment this quarter. It just creates a little bit of a noise, but it's a technical issue which should not repeat.
Thanks for that. And then if I could just wrap up by just asking if you have any update in terms of sort of the revenue synergies at B2B as a result of the acquisitions. I know we're kind of not talking about it sort of directly in the past. I'm wondering if there's anything that you can share on that front.
Ask François Desjardins, our CEO, to answer this question.
I think we're seeing some good growth in our mortgage portfolio, especially after the launch of our alternative mortgage solutions in late Q2. And as mentioned, we've seen 13% year-over-year growth in that, and we're expecting to see that same type of growth in the future. Also excited about seeing increased activity on the gross sales and investment lending. So BD activities post-integrations are continuing to wrap up. That plus getting into a more normal state on the deposit side, I'm expecting to see that 2015 will be the inflection point for our bottom line contribution and seeing things positive in the future.
Thanks a lot, and best of luck, Michel.
Thanks, Manny.
Your next question will come from the line of Sumit Malhotra of Scotia Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good afternoon. First question is around income taxes. And if I have the numbers right here, the tax rate for the bank has averaged 21 to 23% pretty consistently for the last number of years. In many of your quarterly statements, including this one, you make note of the fact that you have a favorable impact from holding Canadian securities that generate non-taxable dividend income and also the benefit from certain foreign insurance operations. So obviously there's been a lot of talk, not only in this budget but in previous ones, about the government taking a closer look at some of these structures. Can you talk about your view on that commentary from the government and how it may affect the tax rate of Laurentian Bank going forward?
Thanks for the question, Sumit. This is Michel here. The government's announcement covered types of operations on the foreign insurance side, which we do not do. So we're not concerned by that particular piece of proposed government legislation. As far as the synthetic equity arrangements, we do have a few on our books, but as you know, there's still a few months to go in terms of getting the final wording on how this will be implemented, and in any respect, the final impact on us should not be material.
So when you're contemplating the bank's earnings power going forward, your view on the aggregate tax rate, which again, by my math here, on an operating basis, has been in that, let's call it 22 to 23 range. That's still a little lower this quarter, but still a level that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, 22 to 24 should be trending up as our domestic operations and our two growth engines are generating taxable income in Canada. The tax rate should fall back into the normal range of 22 to 24.
And I'm probably looking at this a little too carefully, but you mentioned you haven't. Well, let me just ask you outright. The comment in the press release about lower taxation levels on revenues from foreign insurance operations. What exactly are we talking about there? Is it the credit insurance line of the bank, or maybe you can bring me up to speed on what you're making mention of there?
The bank does have investments offshore, which are involved in credit reinsurance. But I wouldn't want to discuss it any further because it gets into technical details.
All right. Well, we're not going to have the opportunity to discuss it with you anymore, right, Michel? So
My phone is still open for the next few months.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it will be a fascinating discussion in your final few months. So, okay, let's try something else here. The mutual fund line is obviously one that the bank has talked about as an area for growth, and we're certainly seeing some big numbers. Now, I know that Q2 is a seasonally better quarter because of RSP season, but even that, notwithstanding, the sequential uptick was quite large. Can you give us some color as to what exactly drove that very large pace of growth, and whether there was something unusual that we shouldn't expect to be recurring going forward?
I'll ask François to answer this question, Sumit.
Thanks, Sumit. The increase in income from that activity was really from two reasons. The first is our normal course activities. We've been really seeing some great growth there. So year-over-year increase of that was 25% and 9 quarter-over-quarter. The balance of the increase was related to attaining a threshold in AUM, which combined with the normal course brought that 25% year-over-year to 43 and 25 quarter-over-quarter.
Sorry, first of all, I can't hear you as well as I could hear the other speakers. You meant the second part of it that was non-normal course. What was that related to?
Sure. We hit a certain threshold in AUM that, with combined with the normal course activities, took that 25% in growth year-over-year to 43% in growth.
Okay, you're much more clear now. So now the next question becomes, is that a one-time almost bonus payment as a result of achieving that threshold that does not reoccur, or is that something that has staying power?
What you should expect is continued good sales from the organic side in money, but you should not expect to have continued in percentage-wise. Q2 was a one-time event.
Okay, so I got you. So the bump from the 25 organic to the 43 was one time in nature as a result of reaching that AUM threshold.
Shall I want to add on this?
Yeah, Sumit, just to make it clear, the actual dollar revenue is a sustainable level. It's François mentioned, the percentage increase is a one time in, but it's a permanent increase in dollar terms.
I'm not sure we're on the same page anymore. Maybe we should take that one offline. So you're saying that the $10.2 million in fees this quarter you view as a sustainable level?
And increasing.
All right.
Because the thresholds that François mentioned are permanent. And so there's been an acceleration this quarter, but only in this quarter. We should continue to have good growth in further quarters, but the level we're seeing in dollar terms should be sustainable.
All right. I might check in with you on that. Last one for me, and then I'll wrap it up, is on the securities and capital markets business. We usually don't talk too much about this line, but Clearly, it was a good wholesale quarter for the sector as a whole. A two-parter, if you will. So first off, besides just a very strong level of Canadian equity underwriting activity for the sector, maybe a comment on whether you think the earnings power of this segment has taken a step up that maybe hasn't been appreciated by the market, number one. And number two, a number of years ago, the bank made the decision to step back and step away from larger ticket corporate lending. As the securities capital markets division continues to build out, has there been any revisiting of this view, especially given that in other areas of the bank, you have been more willing to deploy capital in the loan book towards commercial activity?
Samantha, I'll ask Michel Trudeau, our Laurentian Bank Securities CEO, to answer those questions.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for the question. I'll start with the second one first. We've not changed our policy at all as far as what you referred to as a big ticket. I think we, and Stéphane can attest to that, it's steady the course and we continue our expansion in commercial. Of course, there are some synergies between capital markets, and the revenue doesn't stand in capital markets from that perspective. It's clearly stays in commercial lending. Going back to the first question, we've seen some good performance, you're right, in the first semester of the year, up close to 35%. Having said that, we don't control markets. Some of it is from the good investments we've made over the years. Our fixed income platform performed very well, especially given the low-rate environment. And we continue to invest in a small cap niche. We've got 105 companies, as Réjean alluded to earlier, and 9 sectors covered. We actually hosted our second annual small cap conference this year in April, and we expect good opportunities going forward from all of that. It's important to note that we continue to invest in our strategy for the long haul at a measured pace and to try to deliver consistent growth. But yes, you're right, our first semester was stronger than before. Is it sustainable? We're probably slightly ahead of expectations, but we will continue to invest smartly going forward.
Thanks for your time. Michel, best of luck in your future endeavors, but as promised, we're going to talk taxes first.
Thanks. Forward for the call.
Your next question will come from the line of Darko Mihelic of RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to return to the discussion on expenses, if we may. I'm looking at page 11 of your conference call materials, and I'm also looking side by side at page 4 of your supplemental. And a couple of questions come out of a sort of deeper dive into these expenses. The first is, when I think of the 1% decline in salaries and employee benefits, it was really all employee benefits, frankly. I mean, the salaries are the same year over year, more or less, and performance-based compensation is actually up. So a couple of questions come out of this. The first is, what is driving the employee benefits line lower, and is it sustainable lower?
It's a bit lumpy, but really what is occurring is that we've been doing a lot of work on the insurance costs related to employee disability and some of our employee insurance coverage, and that has provided some benefits, which is why you see the increase in that line.
Okay. And then the second, perhaps more important question that's coming out of this is, on page, I mean, you talked a little bit about the technology costs, or I suppose project spending, but is your intention to highlight that, is the intention here to highlight that these project expenses will decline over time, or is it simply just you put it on slide 11 just to help us understand why the efficiency ratio went up, but they're really not going to change much in the next few quarters or into next year?
We expect the technology costs will remain elevated. Some of it is, as I explained earlier, an accounting quirk where the nature of the projects are not capitalized, or the proportion of uncapitalized expenses on these projects is higher than in prior quarters, which has meant a little bit of a bump up in expenses, and we expect that to continue a bit in the next few quarters.
Okay, that's helpful. And then with respect to the provision for credit losses, notwithstanding some recoveries coming in the next couple of quarters to help it stay low, from everything that I'm gathering, the intention that, or what Laurentian Bank is seeking to do is to move into higher margin commercial loans, commercial mortgages, and even higher margin mortgages. So should we think of the PCL ratio actually rising over time? So instead of 15 basis points, could we consider something higher, and would you be willing to talk about what a more normal level would be once you have gone through a period of 3-4, maybe a year of shifting the balance to higher margin loans?
Okay.
Yes, you're right. As the commercial portfolio will grow, you will see a slow but a slow increase in the percentage of credit losses. Probably too soon to specify a number at this point. What we have done so far is really a good credit quality. We have still strong collateral guarantees, so that's why you see low loan losses right now. But in the future, it would be normal to see growth in that ratio.
Okay, but we're not willing to talk about where your optimal portfolio mix will be and where your PCL ratio. We're not at a stage where we're willing to talk about those levels.
Well, you're talking about a 3 to 4 years view on this. It's a fact that, let's say, as we already mentioned that we expect to have strong growth in our commercial activities, we will move forward. And 3 to 4 years from now, we will be under IFRS 9. So that's probably too soon to start to say numbers about that. But let's say if we look at gradually the next 2 years, our collective provisioning on this should gradually increase. That's a fact.
Okay. And then
continue to compare very favorably to any other major banks in Canada.
Okay, fair. Thank you. And then just lastly, on the capital side, unchanged quarter over quarter, and you're seeing some good growth in some loans. Is the feeling here that you can effectively run at this level of capitalization and not beef up capital and effectively just wait for when you switch over to from standardized to advanced that you get some capital relief? And so you're perfectly happy to be running at just 80 basis points above 7. Or is this just a one-off quarter and we should expect to see your capital ratio climb a little bit in the next 2 or 3 quarters?
Well, we are comfortable with the capital level that we have right now, and we will we expect, as I said earlier, to have strong growth in the coming years, mainly under the standardized approach, which product that needs more capital, but that's when we will switch to the advanced methodology we will be able to free up a lot of capital. So the actual level we are comfortable with.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much. But I guess basically, Rajan, what we're saying is in the next few quarters, your growth rate of the risk-weighted assets is such that we really shouldn't see any change in the ratio.
Or slightly better, I would say.
Slightly better. Okay. Thanks very much, and Michelle, best of luck. Cheers.
Thank you, Darko.
Your next question will come from the line of Sohrab Movahedi of BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you. A couple of quickies because a lot has already been covered. Michelle, when is the expected switch over on the methodology change from standardized to AIRB for you?
Ask Pierre to answer this one.
We don't have any specific date right now because we are waiting for the end of the discussion at the Basel Committee on the advanced methodology and the new standard methodology. So there's too many balls in the air right now to be able to make a final decision on the date.
So from the time you have a sense from the Basel Committee, how long do you anticipate it will take before you actually switch over?
It seems now that we will have to wait until 2016 for final conclusion or documentation by Basel. So it's going to be difficult to take a decision until then.
Okay, and then, but just if I can try my question again, let's say...
That could be 2 to 3 years after that.
It will be 2 to 3 years after. Excellent, thank you. And then the second question is really around deposits. Any color as to what the deposit strategy here is and, you know, the strong loan growth that you're anticipating, what will that do to the loan-to-deposit ratio? Or are you also expecting, you know, commensurate deposit growth? And if so, is it still kind of lower-cost deposits, or will that potentially eat away some of the premium you pick up on the higher-yielding assets?
Thanks, Orhan. The strategy over the last several quarters has been to take advantage of good pricing on the institutional funding side, and so we have been much more active with the help of our LBS colleagues in raising institutional funds at spreads, frankly, which are very attractive. The broker deposit space has become more competitive in the meantime, so we have been just gradually shifting a little bit of funding into the institutional space, having a lot of retail deposits on hand, which is a strength of the bank. Going forward, we can always count on both the retail network and B2B brokers to provide sufficient funding to at competitive rates to be able to fund the higher margin loans that are going to be generated by the various business units. So The last year has been more muted on the deposit side because we have been shifting the funding a little bit, but going forward we expect to resume retail funding as well as maintain or even increase our institutional footprint.
Okay, so just to be crystal clear, Michelle, I mean, this quarter you highlighted how the higher margin loan portfolio helped margins by the growth of those helped margins by about 5 basis points, but then deposit margin compression, you know, essentially offset that. Is that the dynamic we should probably expect as you grow these higher margin loans in the coming quarters, or are you telling me that you would expect to keep some of those margins, you know, the asset margins by giving away less of it through deposit compression, all else equal?
So, Rob, it depends on what your view on future interest rates will be. As you know, further decline rates, deposit rates can't go that much lower. And we've seen that in the most recent quarter where prime rate has not declined as much in order to offset the fact that deposit rates have remained sticky. So a normal course of business, normally spread should be maintained or even enhanced a little bit as a result of the higher margin business, but we're not operating under normal interest rate environment. So it's a competitive deposit space out there, even at these rates, and so there's continued pressure on the deposit side. So our outlook for the next few quarters is for margins to remain pretty much where they are now, plus or minus 3 basis points, owing to seasonal fluctuation. And we're going to keep our efforts in growing at a quick pace the higher margin loans and hopefully be able to squeeze out a few basis points along the way.
Okay, thank you very much, Michelle. Good luck with the next chapter.
Thank you.
And your next question will come from the line of Scott Chan of Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. Just going back to B2B Bank, you know, this quarter it just seemed like the efficiency ratio jumped up, but you know, I thought we'd see a bit better traction on the expenses in terms of coming down and revenue, you know, maybe improving a little bit with the revenue synergies. You know, I guess first with the non-interest expenses, how much of that was of the 5% quarter-over-quarter increase and year-over-year increase was due to the RSP season? I'm just trying to figure out if that's kind of like a new run rate on the expense line. Or should it be, you know, more tracking towards prior quarters?
Thanks, Scott. I'll ask Francois to answer this question.
For the expenses, yes, there was a combination this quarter of RSP expenses, but also ramp up in terms of business development and also adjudication for just general increases that are happening on the mortgage space. As we've said before, ramp up in terms of our business development activities are important to go and get the revenue synergies. So what we're looking for more long term is a decrease in in the efficiency ratio, but through increased revenues, not decreased expenses necessarily. Normal expense rates should be on and around or lower than 3%.
And if I think out to maybe perhaps back half of 2016, is it possible for this segment to deliver positive operating leverage, or is this something that you know, could take more time with the revenue synergies?
Can you repeat your question, Scott? I think you just said for B2B Bank.
For B2B Bank, if I just look out, you know, over a year, is it possible for this segment to deliver positive operating leverage, or is this something that could be more medium term based on the revenue synergies playing out?
That's right again.
Well, just going back to what was expected from B2B Bank, the two integrations were really accretive to the bottom line, especially in a market where we were facing a reduction in margin, and we've seen that happen. Now that we're in a new era post-integrations, what we're seeing is a combination of things. First, the pressure on deposits, which we've talked about during this call, but also the change in strategy for the funding on the overall bank, which is a difference of about $1 billion on the B2B bank book last year, and we're feeling that this year. Nonetheless, that should be a positive impact on the bank, and as you can tell by the results, we are seeing positive results as a bank overall. Therefore, with margin compression in the market and some investor deleveraging, I'm encouraged by what we're seeing on the sales of the mortgage side and in gross sales and investment lending. So as deposit sales ramp up, I'm thinking that our business development efforts will gradually see some impact on the revenues in the future.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
Welcome.
And your next question will come from the line of Brad Romaine of Desjardins Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, good afternoon. So a couple of quick questions. You had identified a secured commercial mortgage that was impaired. I think that it was in north of $20 million. Has there been a provision that's been taken against this?
Pierre, please, if you want to answer this question.
Yes, there is a provision on this file.
Are you able to say how much that is, or?
We usually don't talk about specific provision on files. This one is still under workout, so we would rather keep.
Let's say that we are well provisioned on this file.
Okay.
Very well provisioned.
Okay. And then you had identified as well that there were some favorable settlements and improvements during the current quarter. So two quick questions on that. Are you able to quantify how much those were, first of all, and second of all, do you expect additional improvements and repayments in coming quarters?
Well, there's some plus and minus depending on when we look at the different type of portfolios. So saying, let's say we had this file or this file, just saying that overall it was a very strong quarter. And as Pierre mentioned earlier, and when we look at the current situation, credit quality is very strong. So that's why we said that we expect that in the next two quarters that we should be, let's say, slightly lower than historical levels because we've seen some improvements in some of our commercial files, and that should be probably in the next two quarters. Other than that, the level of 14 to 15 basis points that we had previously should be the one that you should have in mind.
Okay. Thank you. And then just one last one. As far as, are you able to provide an update on the landscape for the commercial loan book as a whole? I mean, this is a big part of the Laurentian Bank strategy. Is there any more that you can provide as far as what you're seeing in the marketplace from a competitive standpoint?
That's very large. maybe just for information, and I think that you already know that, but when we look at the competitive landscape for commercial activities in Canada, let's say close to 45% of that landscape is non-bank related. So the funding of that, there's a huge opportunity for us to let's say focus in some areas and some niches that are neglected by the big players. And our strategy in terms of having a specializing approach is definitely in line with that. So the fact that we launch our leasing capacity a few quarters ago, that covered that we were doing business across Canada, but in some areas we are focusing very directly in the small and medium enterprises and in direct or specific niche market that, as I said, neglected by some players. It's a competitive environment. Stéphane, do you want to add on this?
No, just to add that, as Regan just mentioned, this is a huge market. It's evaluated around $600 billion, but none of the big banks really have a big proportion. This is a market where there's a lot of players, a lot of regional players, depending on the province and so forth. So for us, the importance is that we've decided a while back to specialize in a few niches where we felt that we had the good expertise to win. And based on that, we established a strategy to double our portfolio. And so far, we're in line with that long-term objective.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much. If I could just ask one last question. With trading, I know you'd mentioned that it was a particularly strong quarter, and obviously the markets are unpredictable, is one way to quantify it. Are you able to provide sort of what was the delta this quarter versus past quarters in terms of how much better this quarter was from a revenue contribution?
Yeah, sure. It was a combination of events. There's not one specific factor. I mean, there's some pros and some cons that there would be in any quarter, actually. But our fixed income, oddly enough, and low environment rate did well and continues to expand. And our small cap endeavors or growth over the last few years has continued to show good numbers. So, as I said, it's a combination of factors, but fixed income and foreign exchange.
Okay. That's great. Thank you very much. Michelle, good luck in the next phase of your progression.
Thanks, Brad.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any additional questions at this time, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. And we have no further questions at this time. I would like to hand it back over to our speakers for closing remarks.
Thank you all for joining us today. If you have any further questions, do not hesitate to contact us. Our phone numbers are listed on the presentation. Thank you and good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your line and have a great day.